We're glad you were able to be here today. I apologize to anybody who got here last week and didn't turn around and went back home. I forgot to tell Gary and Francine, so they drove up and drove back home. I don't know whether anybody else did or not. By the way, if you did not get an email about the service being canceled last week and you have an email, put it on your card, because we have a blanket email that we send out each time when we're going to make a big change. So if you didn't get one, put it on your card and we'll ask Rendell to add it to our list so that we can have that. And I'm glad that most of you decided you could catch up for an hour, moved up an hour, and you made it. Occasionally on Sundays like this, somebody gets you about the time the service is over because they forgot to change their clock. So I'm glad you're here. Walt already mentioned I'm going to shift today because this is the dedication celebration for the new kitchen. So I want to talk about fellowship. We celebrate the fellowship found in Jesus. There's an outline in your bulletin if you'll find that. I want to go to Acts chapter 2, which talks about the relationships that are found in early believers, and think about that as a basis for our time together this morning. We celebrate the fellowship. Some of you have heard me say this before, but when we think about fellowship, what is fellowship? And some people groan when I tell them, fellowship is two fellows in a ship. But listen, are we not people who are together in the same boat with Jesus? So I don't think that's too bad a description. We're talking about relationships, talking about our life in Christ and how that's to be lived out and how we celebrate that. So I'll read the passage in Acts chapter 2. It's familiar to many of you. Starting in verse 40 through the rest of the chapter. It says, with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there added about 3,000 souls. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord's adding to the number day by day those who are being saved. Wonderful relationships are described in this beginning of the Christian movement and the early believers after the Holy Spirit came. I like this church. It sounds like a good place to be. But I believe that God wants us to do the same as the people of God. Now, you recognize when I talk about church, I'm not talking about this facility. I'm not talking about Sunday school. I'm not talking about worship service, per se. I'm talking about this relationship in Jesus that ties us together. So that's what we're thinking about when we think about fellowship. This kind of relationship because of Christ. So let me think with you for about that out of this passage of Scripture. So the first thing on your notes is celebrate fellowship through our relationship with Jesus and the Father. Celebrate fellowship through our relationship with Jesus and the Father. Let me read this passage in 1 John. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked on and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. He talks about our relationship in Christ. In this case, John says, I have seen, I've touched, I want to share with you what I know about. He was not sharing some kind of secondhand information. He was saying, this is what I know. I've seen, I've touched, I know about Jesus. The Word of Life. But he said, I'm sharing all of this so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus. If we're to have relationships between individuals, we first of all need a relationship between us and God. Because as I read this passage of Scripture, it says, I want you to have fellowship with us, but where does it start? It starts with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you have that? Can you say today, I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I have a personal relationship with Jesus. I have a contact or connection or relationship with God the Father through Jesus. So as we develop that relationship between us and God, and we learn to love Him, to obey Him, to follow Him, to read His Word and to believe it, and allow that to affect our lives, all of that relationship between us and God is going to make our life better because it's a better between us and the Lord. But also, are you aware that that relationship this way, if the better this one is, the better this one will be. One of the things we need to remember is couples who are married. If your relationship between a husband and wife is to be good, it means your relationship between the two of you and God needs to be better. You've seen this illustrated before, but we have a husband and a wife, or fellow Christians, and we have God. When this person moves toward God and this person moves toward God, what's happening to the two individuals? The closer we get to what God calls us to be, the better we can be this way. So if we are to have the kind of relationship as a church body, it means you and I need to be growing in Christ. So our fellowship with God, our obedience to God, our love for God, our studying His Word, and all those things that affect us this way will allow us to be better this way. Sometimes we base our relationship among church people because we all happen to be Baptist or belong to a certain church, or we like potluck. No. I know we have. I'm going to talk more about food in a little bit. But what ties us is Jesus. I need to remember that. Because when I look across this room, there are people who are a lot different than I am. Praise the Lord for that. Who think different than I do. Who function different than I do. So if everybody has to be like me in order for us to have this kind of relationship, guess what? It isn't going to happen. But when you and I are centered on trying to serve Christ and follow His way, that means we can get along together better because our focus is on Jesus, not on anything else. Now, we do things together. We do Bible studies, we do Sunday schools, we do worship. All those things are important. But that isn't the key issue. The key issue is me and Jesus and you and Jesus. The better you get along with Jesus and the better I get along with Jesus, the better we're going to be this way. So this says, this Scripture said, I want you to have fellowship with us, but our fellowship has to start with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That means if there's going to be the kind of fellowship you really want, you got to start with Jesus. If a person knows Jesus and you know Jesus, then you can have a wonderful, this is going to grow. You need to understand, if a person that you know is not a believer in Christ, your relationship between you and that person will not be the same as between you and two people who know Jesus. Some of you are well aware that you have family members who are part of your biological family that you love, but they don't know Jesus. Then you also have people that you know who do know Jesus and are not a part of your biological family. Do you find sometimes that this contact, this relationship between you and a fellow believer is stronger than one between you and your physical biological family? The difference is Jesus. The more we keep our focus on Him, I believe the better we will be able to fellowship, to share together as a body of believers. So may we always remember, the issue isn't whether I like you or not. The issue isn't whether you believe exactly like I do or not. The issue is, do you know Jesus, and are you trying to follow Jesus, and am I trying to do the same, focusing on Him as a central part of my life? So fellowship starts through our relationship with Jesus, who brings us into a relationship with the Father, and out of that, then we can learn to get along together. Some time ago, I was thinking about Karen and I were talking about how much I loved her, and I was sort of bragging on how much I loved her. And she reminded me, the only reason I love her is because God loves me and Jesus' love is in me in the first place. So I don't have any credit at all. But isn't that important to remember? It's because of Him that we love one another, and we care about one another. The second thing, celebrate fellowship continually. In verse 42, it says they were continually devoting themselves to teaching or doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Fellowship. You mean fellowship is something we try to build between now and next Sunday? There's going to be some relationships that we're trying to develop and grow, so it's on an ongoing basis. I'm always looking to build and to grow in those relationships. We don't have to always be together to develop relationships. Any of you ever get on the phone and talk to somebody? I won't pick on certain people, but I know some people do more than others. Do you develop relationships, though, as you talk? Today, you can do it how? Facebook, email. But the best way is what? Face-to-face. We can do all those things, but we need some face-to-face time. So he says that was a part of their idea, their thought was to be in fellowship. When you go out throughout the week and you think about different people that you know, they pop in your mind. Even though you don't physically be with them at that moment, can you talk to God about them? And is that not a part of fellowship as well? As you lift them up, as you pray for them, as you encourage them. And so we want fellowship to be a part of our relationship. Because how much of a relationship, how often do you want a relationship with Jesus? 24 hours a day, you want to be in touch with Him and in fellowship with God the Father. Aren't you glad God didn't take a vacation? Well, why do we want to take a vacation from God? And so, because of that relationship, I want to have this relationship growing as well. So, he talked about, the Scripture says they were doing that continually. I still think this has been a good church to be in. The third thing is, celebrate fellowship by eating together. You knew I was going to get to that. Because we're going to celebrate and dedicate this new kitchen. But eating together. Now notice it said in verse 42 that they fellowship by the breaking of bread and prayer. Now some people say breaking bread means the Lord's Supper. I don't think so. I think it meant they were literally getting together and eating. But even with the Lord's Supper in the New Testament, and then particularly the Old, was there not some meal included with that? If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it indicates that they were getting together and eating and then having the Lord's Supper as well, or communion, as some people call it. So eating together is important. When I thought about eating together, is there going to be a huge banquet one day? Around the throne, is it something about a supper of the Lamb? Has anybody heard anything about that? It's coming. Even that's wonderful. Then I thought about how often, when Jesus gave what we call the Lord's Supper, had they been eating together? When Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was resurrected one time by the sea, what does he do? He's out by the seashore, and what's he got? Bread and fish, and he invites them to come and what? Eat together. When Jesus reveals himself to two men after they've been on a road to Emmaus, and he talks to them about all the things that happened, and then they get together and they invite him in, what does he do? He's what? He's eating with them, then he reveals himself. So I don't know that it's so bad idea. I think the connection between eating together and fellowship is important. It's not all of it. Let me read the scripture passage I listed on your notes. On the first day of the week, when we had gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day. And this is sort of like some of the rest of us preachers, I guess. And he prolonged the message till midnight. Aren't you glad I don't do that? There are many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and there was a young man named Eutychus sitting on the windowsill, sinking down into a deep sleep. Hope there's nobody here. And as Paul kept on talking, he was overcome by sleep and fell down from the third floor and was picked up dead. But Paul went down, fell upon him, and after embracing him, he said, "Do not be troubled, for his life is in him." When he had gone back up and broken the bread and eaten, he talked with him a long while until daybreak. Then he left. He's preached a long time. Guy falls out the window. He heals him. And what do? You go back upstairs and what? They eat together. He keeps talking. And somebody said preachers talk at the drop of a hat and they carry the hat. So, you know. But they fellowship together by eating together. Let me suggest some things for us. Why is that important? It's not the food that we eat per se, is it? What is it? It's time together to just listen and to talk. Did you ever notice that when you just sit down together, you're not doing anything particularly, and you're eating a meal together, or having lunch or whatever, that you talk about things you don't ordinarily talk about? It's one of the reasons I challenge you, and it doesn't always work, but I'll do it again anyway. When we have meals after service, who do you normally sit with? Do you sit with the same people all the time, generally? Why not sit with some other people? Do you learn anything as you just sit and talk around the food and eating together? You discover some things about them, what they're thinking, what's going on in their life, how they're feeling, what the issues are, and then just some background information. Does that help you understand that individual when you know them? Does that give you a better way to pray for that individual because you know what's going on in their life? So I suggest that eating together, it gives us time for one another. It gives us time just to listen to one another. Now, some of us do that better than others, is to listen. But it's good to be able to listen, really listen. So when we really listen, what? We're not only hearing with our ears, but we're what? We're hearing with our heart and our spirit. What's going on inside this person? And sitting down together gives us that opportunity. We get to know one another. We get to share with one another. So I think fellowship by eating together is a valuable part. Not all of it, but it is a part of it. And I believe it's a valuable part of this church fellowship is to do that. Talk more about some aspects as we go. But just being together, eating together, sharing together. But I want you to notice something else about this sharing together, eating together. Verse 46 says that they, day by day, continued one mind in the temple and what? And breaking bread, how? From house to house. You suppose that one good way to get to know some people and share Jesus with them, invite them over to your house for a meal or for a cup of coffee or cookies or whatever. It's interesting how by doing that we open doors. We invite them into our home. We're not only just having a meal with them, but we're inviting them into our life. We're sharing. We're listening. We're saying we care about you. So I encourage us to do that. I know, where's Nancy and stuff? Anyway, you're up front today. she's talking about a soup and what do they call it? Okay, anyway, where they get together and just share. We have a men's and women's breakfast or a men's brunch now because we don't meet till 10 o'clock in the morning. When we sit down together, I noticed the ladies yesterday. They met at, I think, 8:30. I don't know when they left. But something was happening as they shared together yesterday at lunch. As they talked and learned one another and things shared. So it is a part of fellowship. Not all of it, but it is a part of it. And I think it's a valuable part of it. So that's one of the reasons we believe that God has led us to do what we've done. And you believe it's that valuable or you wouldn't put any money into it. And you put a lot of money into it and you're going to put some more because we're not through yet. It's finished but isn't paid for, okay? So we celebrate. Notice that it says they got together. So do that. On the other side of your notes, celebrate fellowship with gladness and sincerity of heart. Fellowship with gladness and sincerity of heart. At the end of verse 46, it says that they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Aren't you glad you can have fun together? Is it all right for Christians to have fun? Is it all right for even tell some jokes once in a while or do this crazy stuff? I'm not as good at that as some people are, but it's all right. The scripture passage I listed says, "In this you greatly rejoice." Notice the word rejoice. "Even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." He talked about this joy, this rejoicing together in the scripture passage. Even in the times of a testing of our faith, which he said is more precious than gold. In other words, our faith with Christ is more valuable than money or any material thing. But he said as a result of that, as you think about that, it results in praise and glory and honor to revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you have anything to celebrate in your own personal walk? Do you have anything that God has done in your life that you can praise Him for? You can celebrate. He's done this in my life. Is it all right to tell other people about what God's done? Some people say, "Well, I don't want to talk about me." Well, you don't talk about you. You brag on Jesus. You brag on what God's done. We need to celebrate together the hand of God in our lives, and I appreciate that. Because sometimes we don't tell our story. It's not our story, really. It's God's story in us. And there's a joy in that. I like to hear from each one of you. I'm going to pick on one right now. Doug, I appreciate you sharing and Carol sharing your story. Do you praise the Lord when you hear them praise the Lord for what He's done in their life? When you talk to other people and you hear them giving glory to God because of how He touched them, how He's changed them, how He's led them, what He's done in their life. That's wonderful. Fellowship is a time of praising God together, honoring Him and celebrating all that He's done. If you're a child of God, you've got enough to celebrate that way, let alone anything else. If He saved you from sin and from hell and from your deadness, which Ephesians talked about, and brought you to new life, part of fellowship is just praising God together. Most of you know I don't do very good when it comes to singing, but I love it. Is there something about joining together like we do and praising God and singing, honoring? Not only is that lifting us up this way, does that also connect us this way? Do you like to sing with other Christians? Isn't it not a joy just, you know, getting together and praising the Lord and lifting up His name and singing and rejoicing in Him? Thank you, Walt. I appreciate the way you put music together. It was fun today. Every day's fun, but it was lively. Maybe that's the word. I don't know. Celebrate. With gladness and sincerity of heart. Can you celebrate even when things aren't good? And thus the scripture says, even though you're distressed by various trials, that the testing of your faith, the proof of your faith, will result in revelation of Jesus. What does that mean? It doesn't mean He's going to come again right away, but He is coming. But to me it means I see Him better. He reveals Himself more clearly. And the more I see Him in you, and the more you see Him in me, the greater our relationship will be, because we're praising the same Lord, we're focusing on the same God, we're adoring the same One, and it ties us together. Did you ever notice as parents, if somebody praises your kid, you praise too? Because you're one. You love each other. Well, when you praise God together, and you're celebrating the same Lord, that binds you, brings a joy in that. So I celebrate with gladness and sincerity of heart. Somebody said it's good news. It ought to sound like good news. It's good news. He's done it in our life. Not only has He done it today, He's going to do it tomorrow, and then He's going to do it forever. We've got a lot to celebrate, folks. So fellowship, they celebrated gladness, sincerity of heart. So I hope you had fun this afternoon laughing and talking and praising God together for all He is and all He does. The next area is celebrate fellowship by praising God. This is sort of tying in what I was saying already. Verse 47 says that they were praising God and having favor with all the people. They are honoring Him. The Scripture says, and this is after the resurrection of Jesus, obviously, and when He gets going to ascend to heaven, as in this passage, Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up His hands and blessed them. While He was blessing them, He parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping Him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. Praising God. But always notice what else it said. They were praising God, but what else did that verse say? They were what? Having favor with the people. You suppose we catch more people with sugar than lemon? I mean, if all you ever do is gripe and fuss, and I know all the things we don't like. Are people attracted to you if all you're doing is complaining about this or that or something else? If you're praising the Lord and rejoicing in what life is, what He's given you, they are more interested in what you got to talk about. Because they see something good. They say, oh, this person's pretty good. He loves the Lord. And even when we praise Him in the midst of problems and difficulties, they notice that. They notice that we don't wring our hands and quit. They notice that we still stay true to the Lord. Praising God. The Bible says they're praising God together. So I'm grateful for that. I've often thought about, I mentioned this before, what's it going to be like to praise God together as a whole body of believers when we get to heaven? I believe it literally right now would blow our mind. We just couldn't understand that. I mentioned before, one of the times I was together with praising God was many years ago now. I guess you can tell I'm getting old anyway. The first time I went to a Promise Keepers meeting, which men gathered in Los Angeles area, there was 50,000 men in a big arena. And those men started singing and praising God. It was awesome to hear that many men who love God and praising God. Now, some of them weren't Christians, but they got saved in the meeting. But I still remember sitting and listening to that many. Now, if that's good, can you imagine never how many millions there are who get to be saved and gather around the throne and praise the Lord? What's that going to be like? Awesome. So we get a little foretaste of heaven now as we praise Him together now, and then we get to hit on the rest of it. But they were praising God. And so I pray that we will always praise God no matter what. Give Him thanks. The last thing on your notes, celebrate fellowship with new followers of Jesus. Celebrate fellowship with new followers of Jesus. It says in this passage at the end, it says, they were praising God and the Lord's adding to their number day by day those who are being saved. How would you like to be in a church like that? People getting saved almost every day. They were praising God. What I want to suggest is this. New followers of Jesus should cause us to rejoice and to celebrate. New followers of Jesus need us. Do you realize that? I forget, and sometimes maybe you forget, when a person comes to know Jesus, that it's just the start of the journey and the end, and they need people along the way to encourage them. I don't know. When I think about this passage of Scripture, how many people have gotten saved, as far as we know, on that this group's talking about? How many were there? 3,000? That's a pretty good group to be praying the Lord about. But notice what it says. As they were adding, the Lord was adding day by day. Do you celebrate every time you hear about somebody getting saved? Somebody coming to know Jesus. Somebody even taking steps toward Jesus. And there's that wonderful fellowship with those new believers. Let me read the passage that's on your notes. This is, of course, Paul and Silas and the jailer, and they had an earthquake and all those things, and the doors opened, and the jailer wants to kill himself, and Paul says, no, don't do that. At the end of that account, this says, "And he called for lights," that is the jailer, "called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved, you and your household.' And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And he brought them into his house and set food before them, and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household." This man was about to take his life when Paul told him about Jesus. He said, "What do I have to do?" He said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your household." But I want you to notice what else they did. Did they talk to him more about Jesus after that? Notice it says they said that, and then they what? They spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his household. You need to remember, the household became believers because they shared the message, not because the jailer got saved. They had to believe too. They didn't get saved because he got saved. They got saved because they believed what was said. But this jailer, whose life was on the line for a little bit, now comes to know Christ and has been saved. The Bible says he takes them in and washes their wounds. He was baptized. And then what do? He sets food before them and they fellowship. You think that was sweet fellowship? With Paul and Silas, with this jailer, a new believer in Jesus. May God help us to see some more new believers. But I want to encourage us, all of us, to remember new believers need to open. We need to open the door for them. What I'm saying is this. When somebody new comes to know Christ, or somebody new even in the church fellowship, sometimes we expect them to just fit in. Maybe we need to open the door and say, "We're glad you're here. We want you to know that we love you, and we want you to share with you and to make them feel welcome, literally welcome, not just words, but really mean it." Because new people don't know what to do. A new Christian doesn't know what to do. They need fellowship from us who have met Jesus somewhere along the way. And we need to. But isn't it fun to be with new Christians? I like to be with new believers as well. Not that I don't like to be with the rest of you either, but I do. I really do. But one of the delights that I like to hear is a person who's new in Jesus and get them to pray and listen to them how they pray. They haven't learned all of the ways and the words. They just talk out of their heart. And that's a delight to listen to a new believer just tell God what's on their heart. We got to, thee and thou, we got our rituals. It's good to just hear somebody open their heart. That fellowship, that connection with a new believer. May God help us to see some new believers come. Maybe we be out telling them. Maybe we say, "God, help us to share." Just to be out praising the Lord together and helping some other people know Jesus. Why am I saying all this? I'm trying to say to us what we're doing today is important. Not because we have a meal, but because there's a relationship and a fellowship and a contact and a purpose behind what we do. Food isn't all of it, but it is a part of it. Our relationships are very important. So my prayer is that you go down this morning, it'll be afternoon, I guess, when I get through, but anyway, that you will realize this is more than just, we're fellowshipping around Jesus. We're focused on Him and His love and His grace, and we're getting to know other people who know Him too, and we're saying, "God, help us to build this relationship." Because after all, how long are you going to spend with a person next to you who's a believer? You can spend a long time. Forever, right? So let's get to know them now. Let's get to love them now and build that relationship. So I pray that today as we celebrate, I want to say thank you to all of you who have made it possible. We'll talk more about it and dedicate in a minute. But I want to say thank you to those who have given and are giving. I'll say thank you to those who have worked and worked and worked and worked. Some guys for lots and lots of hours. Why do they do all that? For one purpose. His name is Jesus. to honor Christ and to build relationships that he can use for his glory. I read about a young lady named Linda, who was in driving an old Honda Civic. She was in an area where she was going to drive up to the Yukon. Well, when she got to the motel that night, she asked the clerk to wake her at 5 o'clock in the morning. She said the clerk looked at her rather strange, but she said, okay. So next morning when she got up, it was a rather small place, and she went down to breakfast, and two truckers invited her to sit at their table, and she said, no, because it wasn't a very big place, and so she sat down with them. They asked her where she was going. She said, I'm going to White Horse. They said, in that Honda Civic, in this time of year, you'll never make it. Well, she said, I'm determined. I'm going to do it anyway. So the two truck drivers said, well, I guess we'll just have to hug you. She said, no, you can't touch me. They said, no, we don't mean that. What we mean is one of us is going to get in front of you with our big rig, and you get behind him, and the other and one of us will follow you. And she said, I drove all the way up through White Horse watching two red dots in front of me, knowing that there was another big rig behind me taking care of me. And then the person reminded us that we walk through the fog of life, and it's good to know I've got some saints who are before me and some saints who are after me to hug me, to help me get through this journey. Fellowship helps us do that. Let's pray together. My prayer is that today, if you've not met this Jesus, that you'll invite him into your heart and life.